You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that's the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I am your host, Jason Dowd, and we got a great show for you guys scheduled today. We got a couple of great guests coming on, and as you know, it is Friday morning, which means you are on your way to work to finish the work week off strong so you can enjoy the weekend. And hopefully you have a lot of plans for this weekend as well. I know I do. I'm going to be hopefully traveling around a little bit and having some fun because it's been a little bit of time since I've been able to get out of the studio, get out of my office, and go out and do something fun. And you know what? I've worked really, really hard these last couple weeks, and I think that it deserves a little bit of a celebration because I've done some amazing things, I've created some new things, and I'm really proud of myself. And some of it was a little bit daunting. I'm not going to lie. It really was. But the rewards of it are just... I can't even describe it. I guess it would be amazing. That's the best word I can come up with right now, because I didn't believe that I could do this, and I have done it. And, you know, it's funny because it came at a right time, because things just kind of fell into place for me, and everything kind of worked out, because we started a new business. Me and my family started a new business. And this is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to work with my family, and I've always wanted to do something around pets, and I've been able to do that here. So there are a lot of reasons behind doing this particular business, and I hope that it pays off. You know, I'm scared. Believe me, I'm scared. And I truly believe that if you aren't scared of what you're doing, then you're not thinking big enough, because there is a chance of failing in this, and failing's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how you handle it if it happens. But I believe that if you're challenging yourself and there's something that's worth the risk, you will be nervous. You should be a little bit scared. And that keeps you on your feet. And that's what I'm facing right now, and I'm really excited about it. Now, what that is Gladys Goodies. And Gladys Goodies is a natural health food treats for your dog. And we also have cool swag for them, too. We have all different kinds of bowls and collars and leashes and toys and all other kinds of things that your dogs will love. And the reason I came up with this business is because I gave my dog a sausage-like treat a couple months ago. And she wanted another one, you know, and who wouldn't give their dog another one, right? So I gave her one. And she got sick, really, really sick the next day, throwing up, lethargic. I'm not even going to get into the rest of it, but it was just really bad. I thought I was going to lose her. So we took her to the vet. She ended up coming down with another pancreatitis flare-up. And when we brought her home, I started looking at what I gave her that night, and sure enough, it was the treats. Each treat had 16 grams of crude fat in it and 8 grams of regular fat. Also inside of this was ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze. I'm like, how is that possible that that's allowed in these particular treats? Now, on a dog that already had pancreatitis, this was actually one of the worst that she's had. She literally almost died from this one. 16 grams of crude fat with 2 sticks go into 32 grams of fat, of crude fat. And then 8 grams of regular fat turns into 16 grams of regular fat, which is the equivalent of maybe 3 to 4 tablespoons of fat. Not including the ethylene glycol, which already has negative effects on a dog. Doesn't matter if they're healthy or not. So now we have to really watch her diet. And when we started to go out and look for different types of treats, because I wasn't going to deny her a treat, but it had to meet specific qualifications, I couldn't find that. So I decided to make it myself. And our dogs love them so much that we decided to give the people that have dogs with health issues a great alternative to a treat, but also the dogs that are healthy can eat healthier treats and stay healthy. You know, it just made me realize you really have to look at every label that you give any type of food for your dog, because believe it or not, a lot of the stuff in dog food is extremely bad. High fats, they throw just regular chemicals in, like ethylene glycol. Then you also have things like you know, byproducts. A lot of byproducts are not good for your dog. You know, if you won't eat it, why should we give it to our dogs, right? So these are things that I got to take into consideration. And the formulas that we've come up with for our specific products are pretty cool. We have chicken, we have beef, we have turkey, we have salmon, we have sweet potato, and we got a couple more things in the works too. So we're going to try some even gourmet stuff. I'm even going to bring out a potential bison meat in the near future too. So we're experimenting with that right now. And we're really excited about this. And we can ship worldwide. And all you have to do is check out www.gladysgoodies, GladysGoodies.com. And we are even giving the first-time buyers a special discount to just for trying us on your very first order with us. And all you have to do is in the promo code when you check out, it's open. Okay, guys. So let's see who we have coming up today. We have Elliot Forgel coming up, and he is part of our amazing youth program that we're focusing on right now, where we see people that are in their between the ages of 6 to 17 going for their goals, going for their dreams of being an actor or an artist in some way, shape, or form, and they're doing it. And Elliot is one of those young individuals, and we are so proud of him for doing what he's doing. He's balancing school, he's balancing work, he's living his life as a child, and he's doing what he loves to do. And you cannot give these up. Now, he's actually a teenager now. He's just turned into the teenage years. And, you know, we're going to encourage him. And he's part of this family now. And what we try to do is anybody that comes on our show is a part of our family, and we want to help them out. So we are there to help them 100%. Then we also have Robert Palmer Watkins coming on. He's an actor who has been seen in many, many things. And he's got a brand new movie out called The Last 3 Days. He's going to be talking to us about his career and so many other things. So we're excited to talk to him. Now, one of the observation I had when I was at Cracker Barrel was the amazing Americana that sits on the wall. And it's not necessarily with the things like, you know, the utensils that we used. It's the advertising. You know, the advertising really kind of shows the artistic form of America and brings us back to some amazing periods of our time. And it captures the spirit of who we are. And, you know, we've all seen these products out there. And these are the products that our grandparents would use and our great-grandparents would use. I love the artistry of it. I mean, it's just breathtaking. I've been really addicted to advertising for a long time, especially vintage advertising. Now, this is also part of our thing where I was going to pick a specific year and focus in on it, but I think this one deserves to be the entire 19th century and 20th century. I think that that's what we need to focus on today. So some of the products I'm looking at right now, I just Googled it, and I Googled vintage advertising posters. So if you want to go in and Google that, try it and see what comes up. But one of my favorites is actually the Technicolor Mickey Mouse, Hershey's. There's also Martini and Rossi, and there's Coca-Cola. Everybody knows Coca-Cola. There's Bistro, there's Milk, there is Pat's Baroni, there's Popeye, there's Absinthe Vichette. I can't even pronounce that very well. So just then we have the Chat Noir, we have Favor, we have Vermouth Percucci. Peruchi, there is Cadbury, there's Shell, there's Join the Navy, there is Aunt Jemima, there are let's see here, what else we have? We have the Swing Time, which is actually the old-fashioned cat clock with the eyes going back and forth, the tail goes and wags back and forth, really cool stuff. There's the cigarette ads. They're just name a cigarette brand, they're out there. There's Daddy's Sauce, which is like a hot sauce. Man, I'll tell you what, there's Chanel. There are so many amazing works of art that goes into the advertising that we see on a daily basis. And what's really even cooler about some of these things is they were probably seen in some of the top magazines back in the day, like Look Magazine, the Saturday Evening Post, and some of these other amazing advertising and magazines that our parents used and watched growing up, or our grandparents. If you really want to see a piece of Americana, just Google this. I mean, believe it or not, it is going to be worth your time, because these are the classic pinup ads that we still love today, and it's also a great piece of American history. Okay, guys, so that's all I have for you right now. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. We actually have a little bit of time this show to put in some music, too, so we're going to have some music coming up here in a little bit. But first, let's go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will have Elliot Fogel on the line, and we're going to be talking to him about his career and what it's like to be a young actor. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual. Fantasy creatures or urban legends? Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey, y'all, you're listening to Tequila Cowgirl off my new album, Tequila Cowgirl. My name's Cherish Lee. I'm looking forward to having you hear the new album. We're going to go ahead and release it January 2018. There are 7 tracks on it, and it's a window looking into Cherish Lee. So I hope y'all enjoy it. Thank you for being a part of this with me. I couldn't do it without you. Tequila Cowgirl. Hi, this is Crystal Hunt from Guiding Light, One Life to Live, maybe a little Magic Mike Double XL, and currently Hilton Head Island on PureFlix.com, and you're listening to AME Radio.
All right, everybody, we have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Elliot Fogel. He has been a principal role in 3 TV commercials, and he's been selected out of only 11 participants on Nickelodeon's Sketch Live Camp of 2016. See, he's got a lot of stuff going on in the works. He's got some new stuff that he's coming out with, and we're excited to be able to talk to him about his love for being an actor and so much more. So welcome, Elliot, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, I know you're still kind of young. When did you want to be an actor? When did this hit you that this is what I wanted to do?
I'd say about 4th grade. Around that time, I was, you know, like any young kid, kind of confused, but I really just found a passion for acting, and I said, Mom, I want to be on TV. So, we found a local agent who's Catalyst, and then it's just gone from there.
Did you take any type of acting classes or anything like that, like the Thespian Club or Drama Club or anything like that in any of your schools?
Not any of my schools, because we don't really have that many in Kentucky where I live, but I have done a lot of coaching and like intensive camps around through my agency or when I'm out in California.
Wow, so you kind of really went at this just kind of, you know, full blown, and you didn't really have any training behind you, which is pretty intense for anybody. I mean, just to go out there and just do it. What went through your head when you first went in for some of your first auditions?
I was kind of lost. I was just kind of going off the little knowledge that I knew. Most people said I was, you know, pretty much a natural, and I could, like, I had the basics already down before I did, like, any of my coachings or anything, so that really helped.
Were you ever intimidated to the point where,
when you walked in that it just kind of overwhelmed you and you were worried about if you were going to do okay or not? Or did you just have the confidence behind you and said, look, I can do this, and just walk in there and just lay it all out in line for him?
In my first auditions, I'd probably say till about, like, 4-5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I don't go into the room a lot. I do a lot of self-tapes. Because there's not a lot of in-person auditions in Kentucky. But for those few, in the very beginning, I get really nervous, like, it's a whole new experience for me. I've never done it before. But now, it's like the back of my hand. It's really not that hard anymore.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's coming second nature to you, so that's definitely progress in the right direction.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure throughout some of these processes, you've heard the word no, and you've heard the word yes some of the times. What was it like when you heard the word no, and how do you not take it personally, especially at a younger age, than somebody that's been, you know, told no for 20 years, you know what I mean? It's got to be a little bit different. How did you handle the word no for the first time, and did you take it personally?
I wouldn't say I took it personally. It was just, like, more of, like, disappointing, but... You know, like, maybe a week or in the same week, I'd have another audition. I'd kind of put the other one behind me. And actually, I got a pretty big yes today, but I can't say what it is. You'll just have to find out later.
Oh, a cliffhanger. I love it. Well, congratulations on the yes, and hopefully it's going to be something that's going to change take your career to a whole new level.
Yeah.
What do you like the most about being an actor?
I think it's just fun to be someone different. You know, like, sometimes, you know, being yourself is kind of boring, so just playing different characters is really, I enjoy it a lot.
You know, being an actor, you tell stories, but you tell stories through, you know, your acting, your mannerisms, your facial expressions, and obviously the story that's there. Did you grow up loving books and reading stories all the time, or was it just something that you didn't even think about?
I really don't like to read. It's kind of surprising for some people, because most actors you hear, they're like, you know, they have tons of books, just like, read, just, you know. But it's, for me, it wasn't like that. I just really liked making up my own stuff instead of, like, just reading someone else's. I find a lot more enjoyment out of me creating stuff.
So when you get a role... Obviously, you have to kind of go by with what the script says for that particular role, whatever it may be, and whatever you're playing. But you also got to put your own little twist into it and make it your own as well. So, what are some of the things when you're looking at a role that you have to try to infuse yourself into it to make it your own? How do you do that?
I'll just try to find things, because normally when you get a script, you get a character breakdown. I'll read that first. And if some of the things line up with the things I do in real life, I'll just try to, instead of, because sometimes there's a direction that they tell you to do, but you can change that if you want. So if it relates to my own life, I'll just put my own twist on that element of the script. That normally switches it up quite a bit.
Now, out of all the roles that you have played so far, has there been one that's closest to you in real life?
You know... If I remember correctly, there was one a while back. I think it was about a kid. He was in high school. He was, you know, really just kind of oblivious. I'm not saying I'm oblivious to everything, but, like, he was like a really funny, witty guy, but he didn't really know all that much about himself or about the people around him, so he just kind of went off, like, the day-to-day knowledge. I think that was really close, because he was funny, he was energetic, you know, he was kind. All those things, I feel like, match up in my life, so that's probably the closest one.
You know, you got to play on Nickelodeon, which is pretty cool, and I'm going to date myself, but I remember when Nickelodeon first got switched on the cable networks, and I was in school. And that would be the thing that I used to go over to my grandmother's house every Friday and do, because she was the only one that had it on her particular cable station. So I used to love going over there and watching You Can't Do That on Television, where Alanis Morissette came from, and Turkey Television and all the cool stuff on there. And, you know, that was the station for me to watch growing up, and I loved it. And I still love it, believe it or not. I still love a lot of the shows on there. It brings me back to, you know, simpler times where I had great times with my friends and growing up. So what was it like to play on an iconic children's station and network like Nickelodeon?
It was honestly the best 2 weeks of my life. Right when we got there, because all the kids that were out of California got put in the same hotel. So right away, everyone was, like, best friends, even before the first day of, like, meeting everyone and getting to know, you know, everything that was going on. It was, like, I mean, if those 2 weeks could be replicated every single day of my life, I'd say yes. It was amazing. The people, we trained at the Groundlings. That was really cool. They were so experienced. They were so nice. They taught us so many new things, and it just helped us really gel as a group, and it was amazing.
I gotta ask, because you were with Nickelodeon. I know it wasn't on this particular show, but did you ever get slimed?
No, I did not. No one did.
Oh, Jesus. Because that's, you know, I'm gonna probably tell everybody, nobody probably knows this, but other than being a Mouseketeer on the new Mickey Mouse Club, that was my biggest thing I wanted to have happen. I wanted to get slimed on Nickelodeon. And when they used to tape here in Orlando at Universal Studios, I wanted to go down there so bad and play on Double Day or something just to get slimed, because I thought that would be so cool.
Yeah.
So, have you ever wanted to be slimed?
Right after it happened, because they've been doing the Nick Sketch Live for, I think, 3-4 years before my group did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little disappointing because the group that did it before us, I don't know if you know Henry Danger, Bella and the Bulldogs, those type of shows.
Yeah.
Those kids did Nick Sketch Live before my group, and they got shows, but no one in my group did, but I think everyone kind of put it behind them. And it was really disappointing at first, but I feel like now, I don't really mind, because I wouldn't want to be, I like to do other things. I wouldn't want to be, like, typecast as, like, just being able to do that type of acting,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean. So I think it really helped, and most of the kids are already, you know, out doing other projects, like really big projects.
So let's step away from the acting really quick, because I wanted to, one of the things that I know that I think I hold very dear to myself is the ability to grow up and enjoy my childhood. And I think some of the things that are part of that are important, like school, dances, having fun with friends. Do you find time to make sure that you get to do that and enjoy that part of your life so far?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's not really any conflict between, like, social life and acting. There's always time for both.
What do you like to do when you're not acting? What are some of the things that you like to do as maybe sports or hobbies or anything like that?
I play soccer pretty much year-round. I go skiing in the winter. That's, like, probably my main priority during the winter time. I probably go out, like, 3 times a week to Perfect North, which is our local, like, ski hill kind of thing. It's really small, but it's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with friends. There's a place, it's called Newport on the Levee. There's, like, a movie theater, restaurants, all that stuff. That's really fun to go to. Because there's a lot of people that are in walking distance, and we just meet up there all the time.
How good are you at soccer? Because that's something I've never been able to conquer that much, even though I kind of played hockey, which is kind of like it's kind of like soccer on ice, but it's really not. But, I mean, I kind of know the concept of it. So how good are you at soccer?
Oh, I'd probably say I'm pretty good. I've been playing probably since I could walk, because my dad's from England, so he's kind of always been, like, really into that.
Is he a Manchester United fan, or is he the other one?
Yeah.
I remember the other one. Okay, Manchester, so he's a Manchester United. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So do you guys sit down and watch the soccer games on TV and stuff like that?
Yeah, as much as we can, whenever we find time to.
Did he play soccer? And did he kind of get you into it?
Yeah, for sure. He was the biggest influence.
So what is it like in school? What are some of your favorite subjects and stuff? And what are some of the ones that you do best at?
The ones that I do best at, probably English is one of them, just because, like, reading and comprehension I've been doing, like, for a while, so that just kind of comes second nature to me. And I don't do the best in this class, but probably one of my favorites is biology, just because, like, all the dissections and stuff.
Mm-hmm, cool.
It's really interesting.
You know, one of the subjects I always got good grades in was biology, too, so I kind of have that same love for that, and it is fun, because, I mean, there's so many different things that you can do, and, you know, I don't know if you've had the chance to dissect this one worm, I can't remember the name of it, but you cut it at the top, and he splits off into two different worms, and they grow two different bodies. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
We dissected a worm, but not that type.
Well, hopefully you get a chance to do that, because supposedly it doesn't hurt them, but I guess it's a defense mechanism. So that's kind of how they reproduce. You cut them in half, and they grow two new bodies and just live. It's cool. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
So who are some of your biggest influences in the entertainment field that you grew up watching? Movie stars, TV actors?
I grew up watching a lot of, like, Nickelodeon, Disney, so those people, like, once I saw them, I was like, wow, that's really cool, I want to do that. And I'd probably say some of my favorite actors at the moment, the Franco brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have always been my favorite. They're so funny. They're just, like, really entertaining to watch. And, my favorite movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's called Nerve. That is probably my favorite movie by far. It's amazing. It's so creative, and it's just, I don't know, I could watch it like 20 times a day and not get bored.
And what are some of the projects you can talk about that you're working on right now?
The only one is the one that just got a yes to, but can't say anything about it. That's the only thing going on at the moment.
Okay, no
I'm
problem.
Sorry, I want to talk about it, but I can't.
Well, you know what that means? That just means we'll have to get you back on when you can talk about it, so you can talk about it.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, Elliot, this has been a lot of fun. I wish you all the best, and I can't wait to see this new yes that you have coming out, to see what it's all about. And
all right.
Is there any way that people can follow you? Any social media networks you want to throw out there, or any websites or anything?
Yeah, my Instagram is Elliot Forgill. No spaces, no caps. I have a Twitter. That's the same thing. And then those are really the only two that I use.
Well, Elliot, thank you for coming on and sharing your experiences with us. I think you have a great mind great head on your shoulders. You're gonna do phenomenal in this business, and I can't wait to see where it takes you. And hopefully, maybe someday, I'll watch you get a Grammy or something. Not a Grammy, an Oscar.
All right.
All right,
thank
guys.
You.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, guys, we're going to go take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy, that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Czars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is @DowStudios, and Instagram is @JasonDow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hi, this is Crystal Hunt. I play Alicia Trisk on the new PureFlix original series, Hilton Head Island. Log on to PureFlix.com so you can stream Hilton Head Island and see me along with my mother, played by Don Mills, and my brother, played by Antonio Sabato Jr. Hope you tune in.
Hey guys, it's Gloria Mae Silverstein from Lydia on Bunked, and you're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Robert Palmer Watkins. You probably know him from General Hospital's hit show, and he plays Dylan Quartermain from it, and we're going to be talking to him about some amazing things that he has going on right now. He's got a couple of movies, he's got some more television stuff he's working on, and a new project that's coming out here in next month or so called Last 3 Days. So welcome to the show, Robert. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and this is always fun. I love talking to people about what they love to do the most, and, you know, it's always exciting about the path of how you got here and what you're doing and just showing that you can succeed in whatever you're doing. And I'm hoping that other people that have watched you will learn a little bit about you, because that's always fun, and hopefully you'll inspire them with your story as well. So I guess let's kind of start off with talking about how you got into acting. What made you want to be an actor?
Okay, cool. Well, I guess I did my first play in high school, and I was kind of bit by the bug. I kind of became addicted to it. Before that, I always was really into the arts. I mean, I've always been a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
When I was little, I used to draw all the time. And I was always an athletic kid, but sports were never really my, like, passion, you know? I was always more into being creative and drawing and really just a really artistic kid. I kind of wanted to be a Disney animator for a long time, and then I did my first play in high school, and I fell in love with it. Just something about the energy of being on stage and the interaction with the audience and just making people laugh. I'm a people pleaser, so that was really fulfilling to me. So I went to a Center for the Arts high school, Henrico Center for the Arts, and I was in the theater program there. And from there, I went to Christopher Newport University, and I majored in musical theater for a year and a half. And I got to my second year of being at Christopher Newport, and it was a great school, great theater department, but I was just so ready to get to either New York or L.A. So I talked to my parents, and I said, look, you know, I love it here. I've got a bunch of great friends, but I'm ready. I'm ready to get out there, you know, to one of the cities and tackle this dream. And luckily, my parents were really supportive, and they said, okay, we'll support you going out there, but we would love for you to go out there with a plan and, you know, go out there and at least go to some type of schooling, you know, at least get a certificate or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So I found the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, which is an acting conservatory. They have a location in New York, and they also have a location in Los Angeles. So I took the train up to New York City, and I auditioned for AMDA. What it's short for, and I got accepted, and then I had to choose between the New York location and the Los Angeles location, and I've always wanted to do, I mean, I grew up doing theater, but I always saw myself doing TV and film, so California, LA is obviously the mecca for TV and film, so I chose to go to the LA campus, and I went there for 2 years, actually 2.5 years, and once I graduated from there, I started auditioning, and it was not an easy journey. I got to be honest with you. I lived in my car a couple times. I crashed on people's couches. I worked every job under the sun, from valet parking cars to waiting tables to bartending to anything that would, you know, allow me to eat, basically. But, you know, I finally booked I booked a bunch of little modeling roles and commercials and some independent, you know, little stuff here and there. And I was in classes and stuff like that. So I was staying active as an actor, but nothing, you know, my big break was definitely General Hospital.
Sure.
I booked that after about 5 years of heavy auditioning, I booked that role, and it was definitely a life changer for me.
Well, it's really cool because your story kind of starts off like my story did. I was always, you know, the kind of person that was very creative. Sports were not my thing. if I had to rely on sports to make a name for myself in high school, I would have been nameless. So, you know, the arts were the thing for me. The only thing, and I had that, but I still wanted to be an actor so bad because I like to be able to entertain people and I like to tell stories and stuff like that. So that's the only part of your story that doesn't match mine. So that's pretty cool. I like that we have some type of lineage a little bit, at least.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Where are you from again?
I'm from the Tampa Bay area, born and raised in Hartford, Connecticut, in the Hartford County there. And actually, Bristol was where I was born. And then moved down here to Tampa and been here ever since.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I've been in L.A. now for about 10 years, so I guess I can call myself a Californian.
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like I know the area pretty well. I've paid enough parking tickets. I feel like I can call myself a Californian. You know?
I know those parking tickets because I've been out there too myself. And I get them all the time. It was just like, what the heck? I'm like, all right, fine. Just here, just keep my card on the dashboard, and you just charge it as you need.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's crazy.
So, what do you like the most about acting?
I really like the fact that I'm contributing to something in society that takes people out of whatever bullshit they're dealing with. I like that it's a break for people. I feel like, in a way, you know, when we watch a TV show or a movie, it's almost like therapy. We get to just sit down, stop whatever we're doing in life, and just enjoy the moment. Enjoy watching somebody else's story, you know? Mm-hmm. And then walking away, hopefully, if it's a good movie or a TV show, hopefully you walk away learning something or reflecting on something in your own life that's similar, you know?
Sure.
I love being a part of projects where it's, you know, it's reflecting what's going on in our society. Like the movie that I just filmed, Theater 9, is about the gun shooting that happened in Aurora, Colorado at the movie theater. And it's about how these people, you know, we, in our society, it's such a regular occurrence these days, these tragedies that are happening with gun violence. And, you know, everybody's all concerned the week or two that it's going on, and we're all watched glued to the news, and but we forget about it after a couple weeks. You know, when the cameras go away, we move on to the next tragedy. And these victims that go through this are dealing with it for the rest of their lives.
That's
so
right.
This movie, Theater 9, kind of puts emphasis on what happens to these victims after the shooting's over. You know, how do they deal with it? Because they don't get to move on, you know?
That's true.
So I think it's, you know, being a part of a movie like that where it's putting emphasis on something that's so, so relevant to what's happening in our culture right now. I'm proud of that. So... And I'm not always a part of projects like that. Some projects are just fun and just goofy, silly comedies. And that's special, too, because I think we need that. We need that in our society right now with everything that's happening. Sometimes you just want to laugh. So I do think it's important. Acting is important, and this industry is important in a lot of ways. We don't think about how important it is.
Well, sure. I mean, like my mom, she's a huge General Hospital fan. And, you know, she comes home to watch that because she sees all the stress and drama there, makes herself feel better that it's not like that she can, you know, somebody else has some crazier stuff happening to her. She's not getting, you know, jacked by, you know, carjacked somewhere and being held hostage by mobsters. So it's her way of having fun and expressing, you know, getting rid of that, like you said, that bullcrap for the day. You know, and just experiencing it through other people's stuff that she could just turn off the TV when it's done, and you know, it's not a part of her life. So that's what I love. That's what I kind of loved about, you know, the daytime dramas in itself, just the storylines, and that they can go on forever. That's what's so crazy about that. I mean, it was like I was watching. I forgot which one it was on. It was The Guiding Light that was on from like the 1920s, and it was still continuing that story until like I think it went off the air.
Wow.
Like maybe like not even 7 years ago. I'm like, you know, that's amazing what you can do with those types of things.
Totally, totally. I mean, there's not many other shows that have been on for 50-55 years.
No.
General Hospital, you know, the show that I was on, I think they just had their 55th anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really cool to meet, you know, I was hosting the fan events that travel across the country, and it's really cool to meet, you know, a family of fans where the grandmother was a fan, and then her daughter watched the show, and then her daughter watched the show, and, you know, you got three generations of people that got to watch the show, and they got to watch it together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you can see why it's so important to them in their life, because it's more than just a TV show. It was their family bonding time. you know. And maybe now their grandmother passed away, and now they watch the show and they remember those memories.
That's right.
Watching it with their grandmother. So, and there's not many other shows that you can say that about, that have been on longer than, you know, even 5 years.
Right. So tell me a little bit about General Hospital that you've been in. What's your experience with that? And now, you said your character is technically not on the show right now. Is there going to be a possibility of coming back?
Well, it's a soap opera. Anything is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, characters die and they come back, you know. Dylan is still alive. He is currently in LA filming a movie. He cheated on Kiki, which is horrible. Very disappointed in Dylan for that. But you know, at any point in time, they could bring him back. I don't have any immediate plans to be back on the show. I haven't heard anything from the producers that they want to bring me back anytime soon. But you never know. I mean, I could get a call any day, and they could say they want me back. So, yeah, it's just time for me to focus on my other projects and stuff coming up, you know. I just filmed a show with the CW called Cupid's Match. The pilot did very, very well on the CW seed. It was the most watched show on the CW seed app. So
they're in
meetings now to figure out where they want to place that and what the budgeting would be and where they want the story to go. So that's something's going to happen with that down the line, but I don't know when. And then the last 3 days, the movie I shot a few months ago is in post-production, so that's going to come out at some point this summer. But yeah, for right now, you know, I haven't filmed an episode of General Hospital in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kind of just excited about whatever's next, you know, all the possibilities. And I've also been auditioning a lot, and it's kind of nice because General Hospital kind of put me on the map. So now the auditions that I'm going in for are bigger roles, bigger stuff. So it's been great.
And that's great to be able to have stuff like that. I mean, how do you go about trying to get the auditions that you want? Can you just like apply for any type of role that you're looking for, or do you have to be invited?
It is. Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it. I have a manager right now.
Mm-hmm.
And most people either have a manager or an agent or both, and you know all the breakdowns for the different roles that are coming out in TV or in film. Go on to basically a database, which we call Actors Access or LA Casting. And your manager or your agent, every day they're going through all those different roles that are coming out, you know, for upcoming TV shows or upcoming movies or even theater. And they're going, okay, which one of these fit Robert? Let's see. Okay, they need a white guy, late 20s, early 30s, or they need a college guy, clean cut, or they need a singer, or you know, something. And if it's similar to something I could play or something that is my type, he submits me, and then the casting director gets all of those submissions from different agents and different managers and goes through them, and it's usually hundreds, maybe even thousands, and picks, okay, this I like, this guy I like, this guy I like, this guy, and brings in maybe 50 of those out of hundreds of people submitted. And then out of those 50, those 50 actors come in and have to audition. And out of those 50 people that audition, they might pick 10 for a callback. And then the producer and the director might be at the callback. And then out of those 10 people, they might pick 5 to go screen test on set. So it is a very tedious process. Even getting an audition, as you can see, is difficult. You know, it's a very, very competitive career. So, I mean, when I booked General Hospital, I think I went in 3 times for the casting director over a year. Finally, they called me back into the producers. After that, I got called back to screen test with one of the lead actresses who was going to be playing my love interest. And even at that final screen test, there were still 5 other guys that they were deciding between. So to get a role in something big like that, it takes a little bit of luck, talent, persistence. Just a lot of things have to line up. So, yeah, I was very, very, very grateful when I booked General Hospital.
So tell me about this new movie that's coming out the last 3 days. What's this all about?
This is a action crime film noir thriller. I play an undercover detective. I'm the lead role. Jack Clough is my character's name. And it was just a really fun role. Basically, this guy, Jack Clough, he's working as an undercover detective, and it's a very, very tedious job, very stressful. He's kind of battling between
between his career life and his marriage and trying to fit both in, and he's having marital problems. And he wakes up one morning and he can't find his wife, and he can't remember the last 3 days of his life, and he has to retrace his steps. And there's a little bit of a sci-fi time traveling element to the movie. It's an action movie, but it's also kind of a sci-fi movie, and it's a love story. So I don't want to give too much away.
Sure.
But it's definitely got a little bit of something for everybody. If you're into romance, you'll like it. If you're into action, you'll like it. If you're into sci-fi and kind of that element of time traveling, then you'll also like it. I'm really excited about it. It was the first time I got to kind of do all of my own stunts. I got to kind of rough my image up a little bit. You know, Dylan on General Hospital is a really fun character to play, but he's an artist and he's a good guy and, you know, a little more clean cut. Whereas Jack Clough in Last 3 Days is he's a little grittier. He's a cop and, he's a little bit of an older character as well. So I got to do some gun work and get run over by cars and do some fight scenes. So it's always fun. That's one of the most fun things about being an actor is just to get to play different types of characters, different roles.
You know, your character wakes up and he cannot remember the last 3 days. I don't know what that would be like, but that's got to feel like one of the most helpless situations I could experience in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I've woken up and not remembered the night before.
Yeah.
But I've never woken up and not remembered the last 3 days. So, It'd be pretty scary. It's a stressful movie. The character's going through a lot. So I'm excited for everybody to see it and kind of, cause I shot it I shot all my scenes in 30 days in a month. And it was a very strenuous 30 days. I mean, I was on my feet running around sweating my ass off for 30 days straight. And it was they were long days, 12 to 13 hour days. So, but it helped. Robert was tired while filming because it came off that Jack was tired, and he was. The character's going through a lot.
So you really took a lot of the energy and the personality of that and into your own life. So it really did have an effect on you that way too. That's pretty intense. That's got to make it even better though, because you really became the character.
I did, and I got to take off. The entire time I was filming the movie, I was able to take off from General Hospital. So I was totally able to invest into the character of Jack Clough and just kind of embrace that life, you know? Just getting that was kind of a luxury as an actor. Sometimes you're playing like two different roles at once, and it can be kind of difficult to lock in the one mode. But for this movie, I got to just focus on this role and just totally embrace everything that this guy was going through, and that was exciting. The first time I really got to do that.
Now you got some other cool things that you're talking about. Cupid's Match, Five Weddings. Kind of go over what these are all about and when are they going to be airing.
Five Weddings is a romantic comedy. I play a kind of the assistant to the lead actress. She works in a kind of a fashion PR firm, and I'm her assistant, and I have a smaller part in this movie, but it's funny. It's definitely an enjoyable movie that'll be coming out within the next few weeks. And then Cupid's Match is, or no, what was the other film you asked me about? Was it Cupid's Match or?
Yeah, Cupid's Match.
Okay. Cupid's Match is a pilot that we shot a few months ago. It just aired on the CW Seed app. So you can watch it on CW Seed app, or you can watch it on YouTube. They actually uploaded it on YouTube a few weeks ago. So it's only an 8-minute pilot teaser. So don't get too excited, but definitely go watch it and give it a like, give it a comment. It did very, very well. It got the most views on the CW Seed app. So it does look like they are planning on picking it up or doing something with it. Where it's going to end up, how they're going to end up airing it, not totally sure yet, but it definitely got a positive response. So I'm hoping that they make the episodes longer and they turn it into a full series or a feature film or something like that. But just hurry up and wait is kind of the name of the game in LA.
So the more people that are able to see this on the app will also help determine if they're going to pick it up fully, do a full movie on it, do a TV series or whatever else with it. So the more interaction, the better off it has of becoming a full-blown something.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it got 126 million impressions.
Wow.
And I'm not sure how many views it got. Impressions meaning likes, shares, retweets, reposts. You know, that many people interacted with it that many times. So I'm guessing the view count was also very, very good. Probably not as high as that, but, you know, definitely in the millions, I would assume. So, yeah, it looks like it's already, something's going to happen with it. But still, if you haven't seen it, go check it out, and please share it, you know, let people know about it.
Well, I'll tell you, you got a lot of things going on, and we are running out of time. I could continue to cover all of this stuff. But unfortunately, we have to do some commercials here. So please tell everybody how they can find the last 3 days. Obviously, one more time with the Cupid's Match on that app, and Five Weddings and everything else.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been really fun talking to you. My name is Robert Palmer Watkins. You can follow me on Instagram at Robert Palmer Watkins, Twitter at Robert P. Watkins, my Facebook fan page, Robert Palmer Watkins. Also, my website, robertpalmerwatkins.com. I'm going to be announcing, you know, the releases of all these projects on all of my social media platforms. So if you follow me on one of those, you'll know about this stuff when it's coming out. Cupid's Match is already out. You can go check it out on the CW Seed app or on YouTube. Last 3 days, my movie is coming out this summer. Not sure of a release date yet, so follow me on Instagram to stay in touch with all that. What else? Theater 9 is going to be making the festival circuits now. Five Weddings is going to be making the festival circuits now. So, yeah, stay up to date by following my social media. I'm pretty good about posting and keeping everybody in the loop. Thank you for having me on, man. You guys have a great, great weekend.
No problem. And, you know, thank you for doing what you do, keeping us entertained. You know, that makes a huge difference to people. And, you know, it's fun to be able to follow you guys and watch what you love to do most. And I wish you all the best, and hopefully I'll be able to see you on so many more things in the near future.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'd love to interview with you again down the road.
Yeah, we will absolutely do that.
Awesome. All right, you guys have a happy Mother's Day, and have a good weekend. Thanks a lot, man.
You too. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Hey, everybody, this is Jason, and I have something I want to talk to you guys about. Last year, as you know, somebody in my family suffered a stroke. These things come on unannounced, and it can cost you your life. Why? Because it's usually from high blood pressure or clots, and you don't know you have these problems because it generally has no symptoms. One way to ensure that you don't have high blood pressure is to test it regularly. But who has the time to do it? You have to sit down, strap a blood pressure cuff on, and take the test. And they're bulky and hard to travel with. Now there's a product called Hilo LX. The stylish piece of technology not only looks good, but it tests your vitals all the time on demand. Check your blood pressure, see how many steps you've done, see your heart rate, see how much sleep you get, how many calories you burn. It checks it all while you do what you want to do. Then you can check the results right on an app on your phone. I bought it for my family members, and you should too. To get yours, go to amemagazine.worldgn.com and get it, or any of their stylist accessories. In doing so, you'll invest in your health and help the AME experience get our word out and be the voice of artists everywhere. So what are you waiting for? That address again is amemagazine.worldgn.com.
Hi, everyone. My name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
This is Andrea Tantaros from the Fox News Channel and author of the new bestseller, Tied Up the Knots. You're listening to AME Radio.
I'm driving.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to be doing a little bit of fun with some music right now. And I'm going to take you back to 1983, because in 1983, Billy Joel released an album called The Innocent Man. The album traces Joel's musical history through his teenage years in the 1950s and 60s. This song that I'm going to be playing off of this album happens to be one of my favorite songs. It's also one of the best performing songs from the album. But the first time I heard this song, I was really, really young. And I was actually at a Subway restaurant with my father, and it was the first time I've ever had Subway. And I remember hearing the song coming on the speakers as he was ordering, and I had a tuna fish sub. It was my first sub that I ever had from Subway, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was playing Pac-Man on one of those little tabletop arcade games, and it had the big ball for the joystick and stuff. So what I'm going to be doing right now is playing that song, which happens to be The Longest Time, and we're going to listen to the song. When we come back, I'm going to close out the show, so don't go anywhere. Just enjoy it. Once again, that was Billy Joel's Longest Time, one of my favorite songs of him of all time. And now we're going to be ready to close out the show. And before we do, check out our website, www.theamemagazine.com. You can see all of the links to all of our social media networks, download our apps, sign up for our newsletter, and so much more. Everything's up there, so go check it out when you get a chance. And again, we will be back here again next week, same time, same channel, but we're also on again tomorrow. And to find us, all you have to do is go to amfm247.com every Friday at 7 a.m. and every Saturday at 5 p.m., two different guests per show, two different shows per day, so please check those out. You can also find us on WKLAP.com every Friday at 12 and every Saturday at 7, Radiolove.com every Saturday at 9 p.m., Phoenix Broadcasting Network, iTunes, and iHeart, and so much more. So tune in tomorrow, guys. We got so much more coming up. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
That's the end? We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.